And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman Report for today. You know, this is the first day out of the gate for 2017. What do you think? What do you think, folks? Day number one. People still on vacation, of course, today. It is, of course, the second day of January. You ready for this? 2017. I'm Doug Hagman, sitting in for the Hagman and Hagman Report. Of course, we broadcast live each and every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, and, of course, on YouTube as well. We have a little technical difficulty, so we're going to be going audio only tonight. However, we're going to be running the video as well, but about 6 minutes before showtime, we had one of our main computer crash, and the software that runs the video just went haywire. So that's rather interesting, isn't it? We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that, though. We've got a lot of news and information to get into. And, of course, new listeners, tune us in live right here on the Global Star Radio Network, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, as well as YouTube and BTR. Now, don't forget, folks, we've got two different websites, HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. That's for news, information, analysis, news, show prep, news that you need to know. And, of course, Hagman and Hagman.com. That, of course, is for the different venues, show venues, that is. Something I like to call America's premier top alternative news radio show, folks. A lot of things happened over the weekend, of course, since our last broadcast together. By the way, we had technical difficulties on Friday, which was interesting. That was more operator error on my part than anything else. And then, of course, now we've got just video or audio only. So we beg your indulgence. But we'll get through this. Tonight's guest, Greg Hunter, bottom of the hour, is going to be joining us. And also, Debbie Bacigalupi coming on in hours 2 and 3. You remember her. Oh my goodness. I know you remember her. She, was on once. We said, look, you got to come back. She is an expert on Agenda 2030, formerly known as Agenda 21. But she is really key and has a lot of great information about what's really taking place in with respect to the globalist agenda, Agenda 2030, formerly known as Agenda 21. But a couple of things I want to get into, talking about this past weekend. I was on Dave Hodges, I don't know whether you caught me, yesterday, and also last night on Coast to Coast AM with George Nori. And just briefly, we're talking about the Turkey terrorist attack, of course, the massacre of New Year's revelers at that Istanbul nightclub. People, victims from 14 countries were killed, and well, looks like at least 39 people dead and 69 wounded. That number keeps changing, but anyway, that's what happened. And reportedly, an assailant, a terrorist, an ISIS, member of ISIS, now claiming responsibility, opened fire at this crowded nightclub during this New Year's Eve celebration. Initial reports, he was dressed as a Santa Claus, of course, but I don't believe it. That was the initial report. Could it have been? Yeah, maybe. Oh, and by the way, in case you missed it, I was on with Pastor Paul Begley New Year's Eve, actually, for an hour. We had a great time. New Year's Eve. I believe this was breaking at that time, if I recall correctly. It all kind of runs together. But I want to talk to you about what happened in Turkey, because this is extremely important for all of us, I believe, here in the West. And because I don't think people really understand what's really going on with respect to these terrorist attacks. Turkey in particular. And why and how this is, how we are being set up. How we are really embracing, or I shouldn't say embracing, how we are being led to a path of war. Well, all right. But by the way, Eric, it does show that the live stream on YouTube is not yet started. Is that all right, with or without video, Eric? Okay, all right. So we will have video when Debbie Bacigalupi comes on, which is a good thing. But until then, just pretend you got your sleep mask on, right? To watch. But the terrorist attack in Turkey. Folks, did you know this was one of 29 significant terrorist attacks in the year 2016, and I'll count this as 2016. And that doesn't include, for example, the failed coup attempt in the summer, nor does it include the December 19th assassination of Russian Ambassador Andrei Karlov. So, what's the deal here? What's taking place? If you look at what is going on in the region, I think you have to look at the context in order to understand the motive. And I think you have to look at this in a larger, much larger capacity, much larger scenario than individual terrorist attacks. For example, of these 29 terror attacks, of course, numerous were attributed to ISIS. Others, the pro-Kurds, all right, the Kurdish, what is being called Kurdish militants, all right, and I don't agree with some of the terminology, but that's how they would, the reporters and the media would describe this. But what is taking place in Turkey, the terrorist attacks, as I was talking with George Norrie yesterday, last night or early this morning, and what was said and on and off air, and I truly believe this, we are seeing the collateral effect of our foreign policy. The policy that was etched out in stone by, well, you got to go back to Bush. You can even go back to Bush 1 with Desert Storm in Iraq. But you look at Bush 2 with respect to his attacking Iraq. You have to figure back in 03, from 2003 to 2006, what you saw take place there in northern Iraq, for example, or in Iraq, Saddam was disposed of. And there was this forced alliance, between Israel and the Kurds in northern Iraq on the border of northern Iran. There were numerous, arms and officer training and people training, shall we say. All across Turkey that were being funneled into Iraq and then funneled later into Syria. Folks, the Kurds are the largest minority in the world without any land. And you have to understand Turkey's about the size of Texas, all right, in terms of geography. Now, I'm throwing some facts out there for you. So think of Turkey as about the size of Texas. Over the past 2 years, approximately 2 years, they've had over 2 million refugees, or militant, I shouldn't say refugees, well, we'll call them refugees, but more or less militants, come into Turkey. So you've got multiple factions in Turkey right now. And Turkey is really a pawn in a larger chess game of domination in the region. You've got ISIS, which is really U.S., shall we say, that U.S. inspired or U.S. supported, within Turkey. You've got the Kurds inside Turkey. And you've got other groups. Did you know, and this was reported but not really reported as it should have been, that the United States and NATO forces were training ISIS, well, were training Islamic terrorists, shall we say, in southern Turkey, in Kurluk there, at the Air Force Base, or base in Turkey, in Kurluk Base, and releasing them into Syria. They were pulling fighters, we'll say, from Iraq and other locations, training them at this, at Kurluk, and then releasing them into Syria, through Turkey, into Syria. They were trained, they were armed in Turkey. And many began their affiliations with ISIS. All of what you're seeing in the Middle East has been pre-planned and artificially designed. And if you really want to kind of take a macro look at this, you have to understand that ISIS is really just a reiteration of Al-Qaeda when Al-Qaeda was not effective anymore, at least in terms of they had to say, look, we beat Al-Qaeda, and of course ISIS popped up in its place. Well, that's not really true. What happened was an evolution, just a rebranding, so to speak. But what we have in Turkey is a situation that you've got Erdogan in Turkey, who is fighting a war on multiple fronts. His blind hatred to Assad and his, shall we say, allegiance to the Western agenda, not the West, but the agenda of toppling Assad, is incredible. So the blowback from this, you're seeing the Kurds, for example, and the Kurds are being wiped out. After they're being used, they're being wiped out. So when we heard about this attack in Istanbul at this nightclub, it was either ISIS or a pro-Kurd militant, pro-Kurd terrorist. Turns out that ISIS claimed responsibility. But when you look at the listing of significant terrorist attacks in Turkey in 2016, you've got what happened this New Year's Day. You've got the assassination of the Russian ambassador. You've got, of course, a suicide or a homicide car bomber that targeted a public bus transporting off-duty soldiers that killed 13 troops and wounded 56 other people just 2 days before the assassination of Karlov. And then the week before that, you had a double bomb attack outside a soccer stadium that killed 44 people and wounded another 149. Okay, you're not hearing that much about what is taking place inside of Turkey. You hear about, of course, Arab Spring, and you hear about what's going on in Libya and Iraq and Iran and, to a lesser extent, Iran, but other locations. But Turkey is kind of like, you're not hearing a lot about this. But think about that. Really, 3 weeks before this nightclub shooting, although it obviously horrific, you had more killed in a double bomb attack outside of a soccer stadium that killed 44 people. And in the previous month, in November, there was a car bomb that targeted a government building that killed a couple of people, wounded 33 others. I can go on and on and on. But you have just a plethora of attacks in Turkey. And you've got Kurdish bombers as well. One Kurdish homicide bomber rammed an explosive-laden truck into a police checkpoint. Killed 11 officers and wounded nearly 100 people. And it's incredible. And of course, July 15th, you had that failed coup attempt. Another 44 people were killed back June 28th at the Istanbul's airport. There were three homicide bombers armed with assault rifles who stormed the airport, killed 44 people, and wounded 150. Again, these are all numbers that are larger than the death toll at the nightclub. So what we're seeing here is the, and I would say this, you're seeing the result of US/NATO, Israeli, Western elements, that's France, Germany, UK, meddling in the Middle East, using Turkey, exploiting essentially killing the Kurds and displacing the Kurds, much like they're doing with the Alawites and Christians in Syria, all to destroy Syria, all to topple Assad. And then in the backdrop of this, you have Russia meeting with Iran, Iraq, deciding the fate, and Turkey, that is, deciding the fate of the ceasefire agreement in Syria, with the odd man out being the United States. So you've got this three-dimensional chess game taking place in the Middle East. And it was started, yes, it was started by George Bush Sr., by George H.W. Bush, with Desert Storm. You remember that. That was kind of the run-up to, of course, other events that included or topped off with 9/11. And then following that, you had the invasion, not just of Afghanistan, but in Iraq, and the toppling of Saddam Hussein. And what happened there? This power vacuum. And you had the Kurdish region to the north, and you had the different factions, of course, within Iraq. They're all warring. And then, of course, you had Obama take the reins from George W. Bush, and at that point in time, after the July 2009 speech in Cairo, it appeared that switches were pulled, buttons were pushed, and you had the Arab Spring that toppled governments throughout the Middle East, North Africa, Egypt. Didn't work out so well for the globalists in Egypt. Libya, they made up for it in Libya. Destroyed that country, despite the fact that Gaddafi was actually cooperating and providing significant intelligence information to the United States. They took out Gaddafi, only to use Benghazi as a weapons running hub by the CIA. Yet it's amazing where the leaders in America, and the consumers of the news in America, are refusing to see the truth behind this. What happened in that nightclub in Turkey, which was an extremely popular nightclub, upscale tourist attraction. By the way, this man, this assailant, might have had help. What happened there, you're going to see an increase, especially in the West, and I do believe here in the United States. And it's going to be the collateral effect. I just want to revisit something else as well, because if you look at what happened before Christmas under the Obama White House and the Clinton, now Kerry, State Department, tensions have just were cranked up. Of course, the tensions with respect to the so-called hacking into the voter database, or the interference in our elections, of course. That's what the fake news media is saying. But you also had a very important meeting, and I really have to urge everyone to think bigger and understand what happened with Russia and having the unprecedented summit in Moscow that was held between Russia, Iran, and Turkey. And I apologize, I said Iraq instead of Iran instead of Turkey. To broker peace talks between the Syrian rebels and the Assad regime there. The U.S. was the odd man out. Now, we spoke about this before. But Obama's intent on completing his task of destabilizing the Middle East continues even as his time comes to a close. And I've written extensively about this. And I've written extensively about Syria as being the flashpoint for the next world war, and I believe that to be the case. Whether it is but I do believe it's going to be over Syria. However, if you look at the language that's being used, oh, Russia, they interfered in our elections and responsible for hacking and the fingerprints of Russia. And you've got Lindsey Graham and John McCain. Oh, we should wanting to be on war footing with Russia. We are already on a war footing by proxy in the Middle East against Russia, at least in Syria. And Russia, the groups that attacked in Benghazi were proxies of the Russian government. If you look at at who these attackers were, so you already have this facing off between Russia and the United States. The United States, specifically Obama, along with, in particular, Clinton, attempting to goad Putin into a war. So you have this summit to take control over Syria. The odd man out is, of course, the United States and NATO. Odd people out. And then, within that same time period, on December 19th, 2016, you had Andrei Karlov, the Russian ambassador to Turkey, assassinated. Now, move up. Just over the weekend, you had that nightclub shooting. The chaos is incredible. It's orchestrated. And we have to understand, you have to think bigger, because all of this is being managed, and all of this, we are being led mentally into a war. Now, Sergeant Tim on our website, military guy, he goes by the name Sergeant Tim. If you go to HagmanReport.com, and please do this, find the article. You might have to click the load more button. Find the article, why the supposed CIA claim of Russian interference in U.S. elections should be disregarded. We went over that last week. But please find that and reread that. That's an important background. You are going to be left with much more, but you're going to be much more informed after you read that. It's a good read. It's a lot of good information. And it's necessary, I believe, for you to understand what's going on with respect to Russia and the hacks. Now, one other thing I want to mention as well. You know, we had Tara from Reality Calls and Brittany Pettibone on last week as well. And I do want to make mention that we're seeing this massive censorship take place of the independent media. I didn't have a chance today, unfortunately. But I want to report on a few things as to what is taking place with respect to the so-called fake news. And you've heard Dave Hodges talk about this. You've heard us talk about this. You've heard me talk about this as well with respect to the NDAA Act of 2017. And you've heard, of course, about the fake news being part of this. You're seeing now the wave of assaults across the internet taking place right now. Terror from Reality Calls. She has been, YouTube banned her from posting on their venue for, I think for until April 1st. I don't know, a couple of months. I don't know exactly when, but there's censorship taking place. Their channels have been demonetized, and rest assured, and I know there are a lot of people out there who say, well, I don't want to pay for, doggone it, the ads. There shouldn't be any ads on these YouTubes. It should be free. Well, it costs money to do research, folks, and a lot of people do want to, I mean, a lot of people, that's how they're able to pay their bills. So YouTube is censoring by way of taking the ability to earn income via that platform. And that's taking place right now. In fact, folks, watch Hagmann Report tomorrow. I am going to do a video on this, folks, because this is so important, because we are being affected very, very personally. And let me tell you something. I am really hacked off about exactly what is taking place. I know Steve Quayle is under the gun. Dave Hodges is under the gun. Rick Wiles is under. Every independent media, and especially those who identify as Christian, are under attack. And it's a shame. Coming back with Greg Hunter. You know the man. I can't wait for this. USA Watchdog going to give us a little bit of information about where the economy is going, where he sees it going in 2017. Going to be right back, folks. Stay right where you're at. Welcome to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. This segment, Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com. You know the man. You know the man. I mean, he's everywhere across the internet talking about what lies ahead, what we can expect in 2017. He had just come out with a early Sunday release. If you haven't gone to USAWatchdog.com, I go there all the time. I love his interview style. I love the information which he offers. 2017 predictions on Trump, gold, silver, housing, stocks, bonds, and Antarctica. That by Cliff High. Did you catch that, folks? Did you take a look at that yesterday in your haze, perhaps? If not, you got to do that. Of course, Greg Hunter interviewed Cliff High, internet data mining expert. And he says, forget about the rumors and predictions of Donald Trump being blocked from taking office. He's going to take office. It's going to be a smooth, well, relatively smooth transition. There's no data, no hard stop, nothing like that. But he gets into some pretty interesting stuff. Predictive linguistics. That's what Cliff High calls what he does is predictive linguistics. He mines the internet and collects the billions of data points to produce forecasts of the future. And that is the investigative work product of Cliff High, but it's just very well delivered by Greg Hunter. Is Greg on with us? All right. Greg, it's been too long. It's been a couple months since your last appearance here, actually before the election. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Trump won.
Man,
Trump won.
Yeah? Yeah.
The mainstream media, how did they get it so wrong? Because they wanted to? Because it was a psyop? They wanted to. They got it wrong because they wanted to. Nobody's that exactly. Wrong. It's too stupid to be stupid, as Jim Sinclair says. It's too stupid to be stupid.
Well, you know, if I can ask, let me go on out on a limb here. I know that you were part of the broadcast media, the mainstream media at some point.
Yeah, ABC and Good Morning America and CNN. I was the investigative guy for both networks.
So you know the investigative guys. Yeah, you know the inside baseball, right?
I mean,
you know. Yeah, all right.
I did nothing but work with standards, legal, and top management. Nothing. That's all I did. I didn't do ear tip, C-tip run. Here's a flood. There's a terrible building fire. I didn't do any of that stuff. I did stuff that could get us sued. I did investigations. I revealed stuff on people. I'd revealed big defects for big companies that got pissed. I mean, I did stuff on the military, on depleted uranium munitions and how terrible it was. I confronted people inside the Pentagon. You ever been in the Pentagon? You could drive a car around the Pentagon probably 40 miles an hour. It's so big.
It's
huge.
It's amazing. Yeah, Well, exactly. Going back to your opening statement, they got it wrong because they wanted to get it wrong. And, of course,
they did.
The blowback. Yeah. So what's up with the blowback? I mean, I just shake my head, Greg. I shake my head as I watch or try not to watch the mainstream media and listen to the commiserating bobbleheads just still in shock.
WikiLeaks exposed all these people. Remember Glenn, was this Thrush? He got hired at New York Times to be a political reporter.
Yeah.
And they called him a exceptional, some kind of a great political reporter. He called himself a hack in the WikiLeaks. Thank you, WikiLeaks. He was exposed. John Harwood exposed. People at the New York Times exposed for giving up editorial control. And these are the people to the Democrats. And these are the people that are going to be covering Trump in the White House. I got news for you. He's not going to stick Spicer in front of these people every day and let them try to chew him to pieces. He's not going to do it. He doesn't need him. He doesn't need him.
So
he can just tweet out. He's got 45 million Twitter followers. They don't need the mainstream press anymore. They don't need the gatekeepers of the mainstream press. They don't need them. That's what Spicer was on saying, that he's got 45 million Twitter followers. Now, if you add up the World News Tonight, the evening newscast at 6 or 6:30, for the networks,
yep.
You add up CBS and ABC and NBC, those are the and Fox, he's got more Twitter followers than all of those networks combined.
Man.
What does he need them for?
When he
tweets, they all cover him anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. Let them cherry pick their questions, especially when they are obviously, the New York Times, which came, remember they did that letter? Oh, we're going to report now without fear or favor. We cover the election fairly. It's a Baghdad Bob moment.
Yes.
I mean, the New York Times. And they hire Thrush. They hire a guy that called himself a hack and exposed by WikiLeaks. They had to have him as somebody to cover the president. You've got to be kidding me.
Exactly.
Is that John Harwood, who was given advice and bragging about how he got Trump to, try to lose it? I mean, trying to get him to lose it, and here we have this criminal, Hillary Clinton, who used private servers to take treasonous bribes in the form of quote-unquote donations to her global charity fraud. She didn't maintain the federal record. That's another felony, and the reason why she didn't is because she was doing hinky, dirty, treasonous things with her Clinton Foundation and selling out America while she was at the State Department. That's my opinion.
Well, mine as well. I echo that opinion.
And they didn't cover that. Wasn't a story. A global charity fraud wasn't a story.
No.
I mean, but Bob Woodruff should get back his Pulitzer, because what they did, what she did with the State Department, what she did up and down the ladder of treasonous bribes and racketeering and the Clinton Fraud Foundation and multiple servers that you had zero protection. You could just, it's like coming to my front door and blowing on it and the door opening up. That's what protection she had on her server. None. Zero. Nuka. Nada. And what Nixon did was erase 18 minutes of tape and get caught for obstruction of justice and not maintaining federal records, got a pardon for it. Well, what she did was off the charts.
Well,
that wasn't a story to the Washington Post, and incidentally, who just did another fake news story about Russia hacking the power grid, and the DHS says that's not true.
Well,
so,
it's
unbelievable. And these are the people that are going to be covering, and they're like got their lip puffed out. What they're really mad about is they're being sidestepped. They're being thrown on the dust pile, the dustbin of history. They're not needed. They don't need the mouthpiece of ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News. They don't need any of CNN. They don't need, he doesn't need them.
Right.
He doesn't need them. And he just, what do we have, 90 old-timey newspapers, legacy media, 90, 100, I don't know what it was, all endorse Donald Trump. That didn't work either. They don't, nobody cares, and people think they're liars, and people think they have lost a lot of their credibility, and they're going down. I mean, the New York Times has written out 8 floors of their building. They don't need 8 floors of people at the Gray Lady. They don't need that. And then they're hiring Glenn Thrush, who admitted hack in YouTube accounts to cover the president. It's off the charts. It's unbelievable.
It is.
They don't care about their business model. They don't care about going out of business. They're so wrapped up in their ideology. And listen, I'm not a Republican. I just, what they did with Trump, I mean, it was off the charts, unfair, off the charts, propaganda. What they did was propaganda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, now with the NDAA Act, infusing that, on page 547, they're infusing, the Title V, the, establishment of the, I can't remember. I can't remember the name of this, but speaking of propaganda, turning the propaganda inward with respect to, you know, hiding it inside this funding bill here that passed on the 23rd, and I know that's kind of sketchy, and it's but what do you think about that? I mean,
ultimately those cases are going to go to the Supreme Court. Trump's going to put on people who, and I believe him in his word, he's going to put people on the Supreme Court that will support the Constitution, period. And that means that will not fly. You can't stop, you can't infringe, the First Amendment. You can't do it, which is Hillary Clinton in her only real interview, on Fox News, Chris Wallace has said, and I don't know why people didn't get off on this, she said, I quote, and so Chris Wallace says, so there are limits to the Second Amendment. Yes, there are. There are limits to the First Amendment. And that to me was the most chilling thing she said. Wow, there's limits on your religion and on your freedom of speech and your right to gather? Really? You're running for president? You're going to uphold the Constitution? No, you won't. She had every dang... We were 8 years away from losing the country. I mean, she just stuck every left-wing, Sotomayor, lefty, leftist, communist, Supreme Court judge. Everything she would have done would have been okay, Buckwheat. Would have been fine.
Exactly. Yeah.
She's just unbelievable. She was, as a journalist, to me, that's the reason why what made me most sickening about her. Listen, if Trump would have said the same thing, well, I think we had limits on the First Amendment. Man, I wouldn't have been for him either. I mean, the reason why that we have the discourse we have in the country and the truth that we have in the country is the First Amendment first and foremost, and then we had some technology to help us, and that was the Internet. I mean, think about this. At no time was there ever a time where somebody, a reporter like me, I was just a low-level reporter, investigative guy at a couple of the networks, right? But I have the same access to the Internet that CNN, Fox News, NBC, ABC, CBS, I have the same access to the global internet that they do. The same.
Yep.
That to me was unbelievable.
It's a game. I mean, it's a game changer for the independent media. The people want to get the truth out, I believe. So, and you, your audience, I don't know your numbers. I do suspect that your audience probably blows away most of the establishment media.
We probably get, the official number is 2 million a month, but they lie about the views. 2 million visitors views a month type thing, at least. My one metric says it's 16 million a month. So, I don't know. It's just me, and I have my business partner, who's my wife, and I have a consultant in New York. Man, that's ZZ Top. That's like, wow, 3 guys make all that music. That's us. Think about it.
I just said,
I mean, that's kind of an old guy, saying, but, I put up something on New Year's Eve. I put the Cliff High thing on New Year's Eve. I zigged when everybody else zagged. John Lennon was, getting his ear pierced and in ranting, watching some stupid ball drop, I was putting out real programming. How do they win with that? How do you win there?
Well,
think about that.
Exactly. What are the masses? Are we that far gone, Greg? Masses?
No, we're not because look what happened with Donald Trump. I mean, he had the entire mainstream legacy media complex against him. All the newspapers, all the TV stations, all the local TV stations, all that. I get Time Warner Cable News here. I want to barf. You know, it's entrainment. You got to believe what we believe. We're going to tell you that, you know, they had the thing on Sheriff Arpaio in the local press that, oh, that's been totally debunked. Oh, really? Who did it? Who debunked that? That's a computer-generated fraud. Who debunked that? I'd like to know. ABC, NBC, CBS, Washington Times, Washington Post, LA Times, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Anybody debunk that? Anybody get a forensic guy out to debunk that? No.
Not one. Nope.
Why not?
It's undebunkable. How's that word for a word? No, you know what?
That's good. Undebunkable.
Well, we had Mike Zullo on, and I believe them.
I believe them. They have yet to come out and say, no, our research says not a single damn person. Where is Bob Woodruff? Where is he? Where is Mr. Pulitzer Prize winner, Mr. Watergate guy? Where is he? Where is he about the Clinton Foundation? Where is he?
Oh, that's a huge deal too. Greg, do you think with the Clinton Foundation? I got to ask you this because we've got some wonderful citizen journalists, Andrew Kerr, for example, looking into Media Matters for America, David Brock's organization, some pretty dangerous stuff.
George Soros' organization, isn't it?
It's David Brock with tangential to Soros, but nonetheless,
Soros is funding it.
You're correct. And then you've got this connection to the Clinton Foundation. Do you see anything taking place? Any justice being levied upon the Clinton Foundation?
What it is a funding mechanism, period, the end. Forget about the Clinton. They're doing good things or whatever. I, Charles Ortel, on you already have him on as a guest. But he says, listen, this is, you know, pay to play. Proving that is a different deal than simply charging that they're a global charity fraud. Then they're beholden. They are the ones beholden to prove they're not. And they can't. And he pegged it at $100 billion. This is Charles Ortel, who does workups for Wall Street companies and stuff like that. People will come to him and say, I want to donate money to somebody, but who's who I want to donate to? Are they real? Will you look at it and tell me if it makes sense or not? Because I don't want to donate to a fraud. But, you know, a lot of these people were donating. They knew it was a fraud. They're paying to play ahead of time, and they're donating to this foundation. I had Pollack on, and Warren Pollack, and he said, listen, they're going to have to. He said this, we talked about it in an interview, and he said it in the pre-interview, and he said, and he just blurted out, yeah, he's going to have to go after him. That's all. He's going to have to go after some of the swamp things to get him off his ass. He's going to have to, and the biggest target's going to be Clinton and their foundation, because the Democrats use it as a funding mechanism.
Would you say, in your estimation, in your personal opinion, a money laundering operation or merely a funding operation or perhaps?
Many FBI people, and I'll source this, James Kallstrom, former assistant FBI director, said it's a huge, huge criminal conspiracy. Other people, Giuliani, called it a RICO act. It's RICO. It's racketeering. It's committing. It's people getting. It's crime. Now, what kind of crime that is and what can you prove? I don't know, but more than one person has called this a criminal enterprise.
Sure.
It is not what they say it is, and it's not. And they say, "Well, we've done good things." Well, that's like a bank robber going out and, you know, knocking off the First National Bank for $200,000, and then, hey, giving $20,000 to the homeless shelter. Hey, I did some good things, man. I mean, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's.
So that's what it's like to me. It's preposterous that the mainstream press can be that willfully ignorant. And I hate to rag on Woodruff or 60 Minutes or, but that's they're scams. He's a scam. They're a scam, in my opinion. That's too big, too stupid to ignore. You've had Democrats ask the Clintons to please shut down the Clinton Foundation. Why? Because they're doing so much good? Because they're doing great stuff?
No, right.
No, because they know it's a scam.
Well,
so that's what the whole deal is. That's what it is. And Obama may run into a real buzzsaw with Trump. Trump, you know, the Democrats are huffing and puffing, and the mainstream media is overblowing how much they're going to be able to do. Listen, he won, and he's in charge.
That's
and,
right.
And I'll tell you some interesting things that I think about his appointments. First, and I'm not a big, I'm not a Republican at all. Actually, I like Rex Tillerson. I think he's going to make it. But I think one of the most, and also, if you take a look at what he's doing, he put James Mattis, you know, Mad Dog Mattis, in at the Pentagon, the Secretary of Defense. And, you know, we had all these Seymour Hersh stories breaking out a year ago or so about how the Pentagon was helping Assad and the Russians against who? ISIS and the CIA. Oh, we have a internal government, you know, a little battle going on. Who does he put in front of the Pentagon? Oh, yeah, a Pentagon guy, a general. Oh, who does he put in front of Homeland Security? Oh, a Marine general. Oh, yeah, John Kelly, another Marine general, four stars. Hey, I'd say four-star Marine generals are a pretty small universe. You think these guys are going to work together? You think these guys are going to go war internally? You think he's getting ready to establish that? I was telling you in the pre-interview, they said, well, what about the Federal Reserve and all that? Well, you got to listen, the inauguration is the landing on the beach. He's got to establish a beachhead. You know, can't just have war all over the place. He's got to start somewhere. He's got to establish a beachhead. That's what he's going to do. And, you know, as far as the Federal Reserve and how they're, you know, a corrupt, illegal organization, he's got to be careful. He doesn't do too much and blow everything up. He's got to change it while keeping it intact. He's got to change it while not blowing it up. And it might blow up anyway. And so, but I think the most important, one of the most interesting appointments that he made was a guy by the name of Dan McGahn. He's a former chairman of the Federal Election Commission. Of all the lawyers he could go get, why would he get an election commission chairman attorney? Why would he do that? Because he's thinking about 2020? Because he's going to go after the voter fraud? Thank you, Jill Stein, for exposing the voter fraud that one judge cut short up in Wayne County. And we know there are more voters than people who were registered to vote. And they had ballot box stuffing, and they couldn't make heads or tail out of, I don't know, 400 precincts. And, oh, yeah, the left keeps telling us there's no voter fraud. There's no election fraud. Well, meanwhile, California is out giving 800,000 driver's licenses, and we can't check their license before they vote. That's disenfranchising. Right, there's no voter fraud. Right, yeah, right, right. Project Veritas, you know, the DNC was paying people to do what? Voter fraud. Yes. Oh, yeah, got them on camera and had even a chain of payment from all the way from Hillary Clinton to the DNC down to some other people, you know, so they have plausible deniability all the way out to them, and they quit. And, you know, you had Kramer, who was doing some Nazi stuff, which was, you know, committing violence at other people's rallies, you know, like at Trump rallies. And he had 300 visits to the White House and 40 visits with the president, supposedly, according to records. And, yeah, he quit, too.
Yeah,
they don't ever do any dirty tricks or voter fraud or anything, do they?
Well, exactly. And let's not forget his wife, too.
As his top White House counsel, he's setting himself up. He's getting ready to go to war. He's getting ready to go after the voter fraud. He's getting ready to go after it. And he's going to, you know, people are like, Trump doesn't need a $400,000 a year job. I think, well, you think he's no, I don't think he's doing that, no. And I don't think Wilbur Ross doesn't need a $400,000, $300,000 a year job. You know, Rex Tillerson doesn't make, he probably makes $300,000. He doesn't need a $300,000 a year job. He probably, as in his pension, no kidding, he probably gets $300,000 a month in pension. He doesn't need this job.
That's right.
These are people that are rich that, you know, what good is being rich if the country's destroyed? Then, I'm not like in my own little universe. And so these are people that are afraid the country's being destroyed. That's what I think. Are they going to be perfect? No. I think Trump's exposed, though, if he has his kids in the White House and he allows them to run their business. You know, if Ivanka wants to sit in on meetings and she wants to be a special counsel, she's got to divest from her businesses.
Absolutely.
So do his sons. They can't be involved, period, the end. That's where he is wide-ass open for real, legitimate scrutiny.
And I've heard talk about, you know, articles of impeachment beginning day one, of course, based on that very possibility.
That's just crazy stuff they're putting out. Then Obama's doing the Israel thing, and the fake hacking. Let me tell you what, this is a big deal. You know, he expelled 35 people and their families out of the United States, and then Putin says, we're not going to do anything at the moment. They also took control of their vacation properties, and who knows what they're doing. Hey, listen, I'm not saying the Russians don't commit espionage on the United States, but so do the Chinese, and you know, so do the Iranians, and so do the Pakistanis, and so do the Israelis, and so does the French, and so do everybody does espionage on everybody, and we do espionage on everybody. But did they affect the election? Did the Russians affect the election. I think there were leaks and not hacks. You know, Julian Assange said he did not get it from the Russians. He's never lied and never been caught in a lie. The CIA and intelligence agencies, James Clapper, sure has. Did the Russians force the people out there in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania to vote for Trump?
Yeah, they held the gun to their head. No, of course not.
What Obama is doing is trying to do everything he can to discredit, even if it doesn't fly, he needs to discredit Trump and try to wound him and make him so he can't govern. That's what he's trying to do. That's what all this is about. And I think this is backfiring in his face, in Obama's face.
I this is to delegitimize or attempt to delegitimize the effectiveness of Trump. Yeah, absolutely. I think
they were caught off guard. I think they were caught off guard that said they never, I heard somebody talk about this, they never figured out that a billionaire could say, you know, this is bullshit. Sorry, BS. And I'm going to run. I don't need your money, Koch brothers. I don't need to kiss your ring.
Yep.
You know, I don't need that. And right. And I think he's been pretty magnanimous to people who were his, basically his enemies. I mean, now there's talk of maybe even Ted Cruz being stuck into the Supreme Court, which may not be a bad. He was Attorney General of Texas and believes in the Constitution. That's for sure.
Well,
and so I don't know. I mean, I think this is going to have his problems. He's got a huge bond bubble. You know, the rates have gone from the 10-year treasury, everything's set off the 10-year. 30-year mortgages are set off the 10-year. It's weird. It seems like they should be set up the 30-year bond. They're not. So mortgage rates are going up, and the 10-year treasury has gone up from, I don't know, in July, 1.3 or 4% to 2.5%. Wow, that's a huge move. That's a huge move. And, you know, as bonds go up, the values, you know, die, and the banks are so thinly capitalized that you'll be told that debt is money, Federal Reserve note, and that debt is an asset, all these bonds. Well, how would you like to be holding Puerto Rico bonds in your portfolio? $70 billion. Poof, we're not paying.
Yeah.
That's what deflation is. We're not paying. We can't pay. We're not going to pay. Sorry. That's deflation.
That's right.
And, you know, this debt is unpayable. I mean, I ask this all the time to people, hey, do you think you owe this $20 trillion? They go, no. Yeah, you do. You do. You're going to pay. Somehow, some way, you're going to pay. You do. And that's the problem that Trump has, is this big bond debt. I mean, Bush doubled the debt from roughly five trillion to $10 trillion. Obama, you know, took it, you know, on steroids and went from $10 trillion to $20 trillion. Yay! The cool black guy.
Yeah,
he debted the hell out of us. I mean, and Mitch McConnell and the Republicans and what's his name, you know, Mr. Speaker of the House.
Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan, he was Mr. Budget Expert, and they just kept funneling money in there until we've doubled the debt. And so, the problem is going to be, and this is the good thing about Trump. You may remember when early on, I don't know if you caught this, early on, because I covered the economy a lot, because I'm fascinated by it, because I think that's the story of our time. Because that's going to be the precursor to everything. All the political crap that's going to happen is going to have an economic tint to it. And remember early on, in March, April, something like that, he started, you know, we have all this debt. You know, all the Federal Reserve screwed us. They blew a bubble. You know, and we have all this debt. You know, I don't know. Maybe we should reorganize this debt. Oh, he stopped talking about that. Maybe we should reorganize this debt. Oh, no faith, full faith and credit? Oh, you mean we're not going to give away, you know, like Iowa and Missouri as part of payment to China? Nope. No, we're not. Now, Hillary, maybe. All these federal lands that Obama is taking, you know, we're going to collateralize that. You know, we're going to try to collateralize that, and all of a sudden China's going to be building stuff over here in their New World Order type. No, not with Trump. Uh-uh. No. That ain't going to happen. He's going to reward that. He's going to default. He's going to say, you made a bad choice. You made a bad decision. We're not going to do all this. We're not going to do it. We're not going to pay all this money. We can't.
Man,
we also have a trade deal where he lowers, where he actually gets inflation and lowers the value of the dollar. And so, you know, he's got some trade plans where he's going to, we have to be more competitive. So things have to be, we have to be able to build things cheaper here and export. That's his big thing. Right?
Greg Hunter, I got to cut you loose, brother. We're at the break. God bless you. Thanks for popping in, man. You were a firecracker as always. USA Watchdog. Thank you, sir. Talk soon.
Okay, see you, pal. Right. Thanks a lot for having me on.
All right, bud. Folks, Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com. We're right back. Stay right where you're at.